Episode 13, The King's Submission.
Over the next few days, Jesus taught the people in the temple, where as a boy, he had amazed the scholars with his deep questions and wise answers. The leaders in the temple now had a different attitude. "We don't want this man to be our king." So they assaulted Jesus with explosive questions, hoping to turn the common people against him. Watching for their opportunity, the leaders sent spies, pretending to be honest men. They tried to get Jesus to say something that could be reported to the Roman governor so he would arrest Jesus. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you speak and teach what is right and are not influenced by what others think. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" What would Jesus answer? If he said, "Yes, pay taxes to the emperor," the Jewish population would accuse him of disloyalty to their cause. On the other hand, if Jesus answered, "No, do not pay taxes," the Roman governor would hear of it and condemn him for treason. He saw through their trickery and said, "Show me a Roman coin whose picture and title are stamped on it." "Caesar's," they replied. "Well then," he said, "give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God." So they failed to trap him by what he said in front of the people. Instead, they were amazed by his answer, and they became silent. Again and again, different groups of religious teachers tried to trap Jesus, but each time he answered them with perfect wisdom. After that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Put to shame, the men slipped away to conspire with the chief priests to have Jesus arrested and executed. What blindness! These priests, responsible to offer sacrifices on the temple altar, had no idea the man they wanted to kill was the very one who was pictured in those sacrifices. God's secret plan was about to be fulfilled. It was the eve of the annual feast of the sacrifice called the Passover. The next day, thousands of lambs would be killed. Though Jesus knew that he too would be killed the next day, he spent the evening sharing a last supper with his disciples. During the meal, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them to eat. He also passed around a cup. He told them the torn bread should make them think about his body and the red juice about his blood that would be shed to bring in the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. At midnight, he led his disciples to a garden called Gethsemane. There, knowing the horrors that awaited him, he prayed to his Father. Then, as if on cue, the religious leaders arrived with a mob of armed men. Jesus said to them, "Am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day." But this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in the scriptures. At that point, all the disciples deserted him and fled. Jesus let the men bind him and lead him to the high priest's house where the Jewish rulers had gathered. There, many men told lies about Jesus. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ,
the Son of the Blessed One?"
"I am," said Jesus, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his clothes.
"Why do we need any more witnesses?" he asked. "You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?"
They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said,
"Prophesy!"
And the guards took him and beat him. The Jewish court had passed the death sentence, but it did not have the authority to carry it out. Only a Roman court could do that. It was early morning when the religious rulers and a growing mob led Jesus from the high priest's house through the streets of Jerusalem to the palace of the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. The religious leaders wanted Pilate to put Jesus to death. They began at once to state their case.
"This man has been leading our people to ruin by telling them not to pay their taxes to the Roman government and by claiming he is the Messiah, a king."
After interrogating Jesus, Pilate turned to the leading priests and to the crowd and said,
"I find nothing wrong with this man." "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you."
Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews? What is it you have done?"
Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place."
"You are a king then?"
said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me."
"What is truth?"
Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said,
"I find no basis for a charge against him."
But the mob kept screaming,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
For the third time he spoke to them,
"Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him."
But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent, but because he was afraid of the religious leaders and their mob, he condemned Jesus to death. Pilate sentenced Jesus to the extreme penalty of Roman law, a brutal beating followed by crucifixion. Condemned victims were flogged with whips embedded with sharp pieces of metal. 700 years earlier, the Lord had told the prophet Isaiah to write, "I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting." The gospel tells us what happened after the Lord was whipped. Some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and called out the entire battalion. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They made a crown of long, sharp thorns and put it on his head, and they placed a stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery, yelling,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
And they spit on him and grabbed the stick and beat him on the head with it. The soldiers were ignorant of the meaning of the crown of thorns they had jammed onto Jesus' head. Thorns were part of the curse that came over the earth because of Adam's sin. The Holy King of Glory had come to take sin's curse for us. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified. Two convicted criminals were also led out with Jesus. Each was made to carry his own cross to the place of execution. Part way into the grim parade, the Roman soldiers forced a man from North Africa to carry Jesus' cross for him. Then on they went, through Jerusalem's crowded streets, outside the city walls, and up a hill called Golgotha, the northern part of Mount Moriah where, about 1900 years earlier, the prophet Abraham had said, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." It was time for that lamb to die. Crucifixion is the most horrific state-sponsored method of execution ever devised. To add public shame to excruciating pain, the Roman soldiers stripped victims naked before driving nails through their hands and feet into a cross or tree. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lot. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the Chosen One." If Jesus had saved himself, he could not have saved us. The crowd had no idea they were fulfilling what the Lord had spoken to the prophet David. "They have pierced my hands and my feet. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." God's rescue plan was being fulfilled in every detail. On the same mountain where the prophet Abraham had said, "God himself will provide the lamb," and "the Lord will provide," God had provided his very own lamb, Jesus. Do you remember how the innocent ram was sacrificed on the wood on an altar to ransom Abraham's condemned son? Now the sinless Son of God was being sacrificed on a wooden cross to ransom Adam's condemned descendants. God spared Abraham's son, but he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. That is how much you are worth to God.